I'm not blaming anybody. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Edus, the Laws of Testimony, chapter 14, Halacha Dalet, 14:4.
Can I just close this thing?
What? Hit the
are you like a newbie?
That's it. Perfect. You got it, man. You're an expert. You're a pro. Okay. Remember we talked about the last few things. We're dealing with people who were, when they saw an event, they weren't a kosher witness. And then later, they were a kosher witness. We don't accept the testimony. With what exception?
Child.
A child. Who, if he saw something as a child, when he grows an adult, for rabbinically required testimonies, he will be believed as a child. We also said if a person was kosher when he saw the testimony, when he saw what happened, but then became unkosher for a reason, and then later becomes kosher, he can still testify the kosher state where he saw it kosher. That was the basics we did yesterday. So let's continue now. Continue with the cotton here. Dalet. Kol elu shemeid v'magodol v'masher k'shakotten. All these things where an adult wants to testify what he saw as a child. And let's say these are rabbinic things that we would normally do as a child, but there's one more little thing to add here. Imhoya goy o eved, what if he was a non-Jew as a child when he saw what happened? Or was a Canaanite slave when he was a child when he saw it? And now he has either converted or been released and converted, and now he's a full-fledged adult Jew. And he'd like to testify what he saw as a kid in the non-Jewish or Canaanite state. Well, so Oevich Kisharod Vermelo Veheira Khishinisgar, and he wants to testify now after he's converted, or Vishnishtak where he's been freed. Eino Nemon, he is not believed. Okay? Now the question is, why is he not believed over here? Let's say even further, let's say even if at the time when he was young he was planning on converting or whatever. We don't believe what he saw. Because he probably wasn't so meticulous in this, because this is not the same thing as a Jewish child. A Jewish child knows he's going to be a Jewish adult. It's like, no question, he will be a Jewish adult. That happens to 100%. It happens to 100% of all Jewish children. They all grow up to be Jewish adults, God willing, if they live that long. Right? But the fact that it was non-Jewish, okay, there's no guarantees he's going to be Jewish or freed. And therefore, they may have felt that this isn't like anything I'll ever test of. It wasn't like in their Weltanschauung. It's not on the radar, as it were. I think when he was a little kid, he thought, one day I'll be a Jew and I'll testify. Like, so therefore, they really probably weren't so careful in what they were seeing. While a kid knows, you know, a kid learns Mishnayos, he learns Rambam, he's little. He knows, one day I'll be an animal, one day I'll be able to testify. So even things that I see now, I have to be careful with.
We took the same thing.
We don't accept their testimony. Let's continue. Hey, this is a little trickier one now. It's the trickiest one of the perek. Misha yedela chaver be'edus achol nasa gazlan. Let's say somebody definitely knew something. He saw something to testify when he was a kosher Jew before he decided to take a life of crime and be a robber. Okay? So he definitely saw something that they could testify. Then he became a robber. V'nasa gazlan. Now he's a robber. And what he would like to do is, he'd like to testify about something he signed earlier on and to say this was my testimony of something that happened when I was not a Goslin. So he whips out, oh look, here's a document. It's dated a certain date and this and that. And
is he a Goslin now?
He's a Goslin now. My pre-Goslin date. I can tell you exactly when I was a Goslin. I became a Goslin January 1st, 2014. I've been a Goslin for 17 days. This document was a year ago when I was a very good Jew, but now I'm a Goslin. What? So now I'm testifying that, you know, that was dated February 1st, 2012. About a certain business transaction that happened, and that is my signature, and I'd like to testify on my signature, even though I'm not a Goslin. But when I signed it, I wasn't a Goslin. Alright? So, he can't testify for this. Surprise, surprise. Why can he not testify? Because what were we gonna be suspicious of?
Right now,
he forged it.
He's forged this whole document right now.
He's not an honest person.
If he's a Goslin, so he could today he could have written a document that said February 2012. So by definition, we can't trust it, even though he's claiming one up when I thought I was a good guy.
Yeah,
but he's not.
But
a good guy now,
as opposed to the following, and I don't think there's a Kiddush in this line, but I think it's setting us up for the next line, which we could hear as a Kiddush. But what if, before he became a Goslin, his signature was verified by a court for something that he did before he was a Goslin? Right?
Uh-huh.
On January 12th, he was in a court, he signed it, this and that.
So
now there's a discussion about it, and we said, well listen, the Bezdin, a year and a half ago, before he was a Goslin, they said the signature,
yeah,
okay.
He was honest,
we're not gonna say, well, you know, now he's a Goslin, maybe he fooled everybody before. He wasn't such an honest guy. All the Bezdin did was to verify his signature, remember. That's all they did. They said that they verified his signature. So we know it was his signature, it was this document, although they're not verifying what he signed. They're just verifying his signature. It's good enough. Since there was no suspicions at the time of him being a Ganav, you know, now he is a Ganav. We don't assume the seeds of Ganavis were there, and he signed the whole forge. And the Bezin's just telling us it's his signature. Well, that far we're not going to go. Raise a star kosher. What?
Does it raise a suspicion that
we don't go backwards. Only person has a chazaka, he's a good guy, unless there's a reason said until he did something bad. If we assumed he was a good guy till now, you know, Bezin, when they validated the document, they knew he was not a Ganef at that time. Right? So we have to go with what we had. Chazaka is he only became wicked at the earliest moment we can.
Wow.
You're living in Canada too long, Shelley. I'm not saying you're not being wise, but the Torah looks more favorably upon people. Torah looks more favorably upon people. All right, how about another similar type of scenario? Let's say a guy became a son-in-law for somebody after he signed a document. The guy was not related to him, didn't marry his daughter, right? And the document says it was signed at a date before he married the guy's daughter. And now he wants to say, I want you to know, even though I'm his son-in-law now, but I signed it before I was his son-in-law, and I validated, you know, I'm validating it now before it was beforehand. He still cannot testify for this because he's a relative. Forget it. Relative cannot testify on what he
wasn't a relative when he signed it.
Doesn't matter.
But now he's a relative.
You know, we're saying he forged his signature because he's a relative.
He's puzzled. Doesn't matter. It's nothing to do with forging. Has nothing with forging. What if Moshe said it about Aaron? We don't have to say they're going to lie. Relatives are relatives, man. Can you accept the testimony of a son-in-law?
No, but when he signed it, he wasn't a relative.
That's fine, but now you are testifying. Now, right now. We need to validate it today. Okay?
But you just testified.
Other people could, but you are testifying today, Paul. Today, you are testifying. And, no, it's not a question we think you're a liar. If Moshe Rabbeinu would say it. About Yisro, okay, right? You know, I signed a document for Yisro, you know, before I married his daughters, right? Pre-well, I signed a document. Now it's post-well. I signed, sorry, Moshe, we're not going to believe him. What do you think? Moshe's going to lie? No, we're not going to lie. Your relative finished.
You just showed him the signature and said, is this your signature?
That's a testimony.
No, without knowing what document it is.
Except he knows what document it is. He has to know what document it is.
He can't verify.
He can't know.
Say, this is my signature.
He has to know what it's about. Remember we said
that. That was the vote last week, 2 weeks ago.
Document relates to your father-in-law. Out.
So if he saw a guy, Mechalel Shabbos, and is going to testify, I can stop if you don't want to hear it.
Go ahead.
and he wants to testify. Then he marries his daughter, then he can't testify anymore.
That's right.
That's right.
You got it.
So, okay next time someone will call Shabbos, get them to marry your, get the witnesses to marry your daughter. Okay. Now, however, but others could testify that it's his signature. You don't need a Bezdin now. This is not before with the Ganef. We needed the Bezdin to validate it before. Right?
Right, because we don't doubt that
he signed. But here, Afal Pishlo Husabez, and even though we're not validating with a Bezdin, El Rachel said it's all happening after he's a son-in-law. Hareza Kusher. It's Kusher. Why is that different than the case before with the Ganef, where it's not going to work?
Because we don't doubt that.
She'ain a daima apostle, where you can't compare a guy who's apostle because he sinned, l'apostle bekriva, because a guy who's apostle because he's a relative, because she apostle ba'ver chashal zev, considering when you're apostle or a sinner, we still are always going to can be concerned there's forgery going on. So maybe even now, he may have forged it, and he could fool people. Could be the guy forged it today. People are going to testify. Good people are going to testify it's his signature, but he could have forged it today for a date of 2 years ago. The guy was going to say, hey, listen, is that my signature?
Yep.
That's your signature. Now, Bezdin, who said we saw it 2 years ago, it's different. Said, no, it's your signature. Yeah, sure it is. I forged it today. Yeah, you're right. I forged the whole document. But we won't, but by a relative, that'll be okay, because there's no assumption of chicanery over here. It's just he can't testify. But some of that's the difference there, you see, where others could testify today that it's his signature for something for his father-in-law. And we're not assuming that guys are going to cheat for their in-laws. That's the difference. Xeris Akosov, he can't tell us, but other people can. Okay, Vav. Here, now we get to interesting scenarios where we go halfway in believing and halfway not in Vav and Zion. Shtar sheyesh bo shnei edim b'lad. Okay, you have a document that only has two witnesses as opposed to many more who could have been kosher without them. But this, you need these two guys. It's very important. Ushneim kron zelzeh, and these two are relatives to each other. So if they're relatives to each other, they can't testify about the other guys as well. They just cannot testify. Or, oechad mishneim puzzle, or let's say one is puzzle for a various sin that he did. Afal pi, now let's say, shermoso, these guys who signed the document. Okay? Now let's say the guy who sold a piece of land, the owner. He made the document, or the buyer rather, whoever, makes the document, says, okay, I want two guys to sign that I bought the thing. Here, two guys signed it. I want two guys to watch what's happened. And it's gonna be passed from him, the seller, to me. So now you got two guys who watched what happened, and you have two guys who signed it, but the two guys who signed it, one of them is possible. Okay, you got that? One of the signators is puzzle. There's two other witnesses who watched this whole thing happen. Is it acceptable or not? Rambam says, Harehu kacheres. It's like a piece of pottery.
Oh boy.
Worthless. Why? Here's an interesting concept he brings up. Mipneshu mezuyof mitocho. It's forged from its insides. In other words, if the document, what is really the thing that's the whole transaction is based on the document,
yeah,
and the signatures of the document. So if the signatures are not legal, then what are they testifying? They're testifying the guy gave him a piece of pottery. We're not denying the guys were honest who saw what happened, but the document by definition is not a legal document, and therefore it's not going to be acceptable. Zion. Now we come to tricky cases. Hakoy, so let's say a guy writes the following. Kol nechasov l'shnei be'yadim be'edus achas. The guy writes, I'm giving all...
Are we on seven?
Yeah, the numbers have changed. Okay, good. Yeah, see, it's some brackets there. A guy who bequeaths, who gives all his possessions to two people. And it's done with one set of witnesses who watched all this. Okay, the Eidus Achas. He did it in one fell swoop. He's one shtar, and he's not dividing anything up. He said, all my assets are going to Reuven and Shimon. And I've got Levi and Yehuda signing the document. Okay, now there's a problem. For Ha'edim and the two guys, Levi and Shimon, Krovim le'echad v'makabli ha'matana. They're relatives to one of the two beneficiaries. But not to the other one, Rechovim Hashemi, but they have nothing to do with the second guy. So now, let's think about that for a minute. So, the guy who they're related to, their signature is for sure not good for him, because we can't believe that they're saying that. But wait a minute, but maybe the other guy could get the whole stuff, because they're not related to him. They're not related to him, so let him get all the money, maybe. Hare Ashtar Apostle, the whole star is Apostle. Since it's one testimony, we take it, the whole thing is good or bad. So once part of it is bad, the whole thing's bad, because they're intertwined, the two fellows. Okay, well how about the following? What about this? Avolim kasuv bishtar echad. What if in one document he writes the following, splitting it up? Shinasati l'ruven chaser plonis. In one there's, I give Ruven my property on Springgate. Vinasat l'shimon sover that I give my other property to Shimon on Rodeo. So it's one document, but two separate pieces of information over here. And one has really, it's two separate actions, two separate people. Happens to be one document. And you find the two witnesses on the document relate to one guy, not the other. Here, we say different. The ones that they're not related to, matanas ko kayemas, the gift stands. Why? Here we say, because really, it, even though it's one document, it's two testimonies. It's as if the two guys testify two times, because it's two separate
giftings,
okay. Although it's in one document, but it's tantamount to two. Why did one day, he only had one piece of paper on him.
Right.
The lawyer, you know, the lawyer who's the witnesses, they charge per signature. Wait, I don't know. But it's clearly as if they're making two separate testimonies, even though it happens to be on one piece of paper. What could we compare this to that we also would understand? La'omer, let's say a guy says the following. I have witnesses that I gave to Reuven such and such and such and such. And I also have witnesses, and I gave to Shimon such and such. And I borrowed money from Levi such and such. Right? It's two, three mamish different transactions. But it's all Ava Pisha Kosher. But he wrote it on one document. Yeah. Vahamakne. Ish echod, and let's say the guy who's giving it, he's the same guy. One guy is lending to another guy, one guy is giving to another guy, whatever. It's one guy dealing with three separate people, three totally different transactions, but it's all on paper. Harelu shlosh adios, it's like three testimonies, she'enim plusu, that one has nothing to do with the other, and if the relatives, if the witness be relatives to anybody, it's a totally different, testimony, so they're not linked together. Okay, moving on to chapter 15. Perek Chamisha Asor. Now the fun begins. Right? Let me know when you've...
Yes, a few emails, Rabbi.
What?
Want to see new emails? I don't know if that's big enough. I can't read it.
Hit the files.
Documents?
Files.
I did hit files.
Nothing than documents. Hit documents. Inbox. No, imports. Back. Go back to files. Just press documents. Go back.
Hit. How do I go back?
Hit files.
What's... Hit done.
Hit done. Okay, now go back to documents. Yes, now imports. Imports. Okay. Now, Edus, next one, 15-18. Okay, good. See?
With a little help from
on the job training. Good. Aleph, call Edus Shadavo Hanola Vedu. Any testimony that the witness will get some kind of benefit out of his testimony. It really doesn't sound good. Ainameba, he cannot testify. Why? Because there's Shehu Kameh Adalats. It's like he's testifying on himself. Now the Rishonim give two different logics to this sentence. They're similar but different. One says, we'll assume he's a liar. He stands to benefit, so when you're just gonna stand to benefit, we can think you're a liar. Or as others explain a little better, every person is related to himself. Right? So let's say you don't assume he's a liar, but he is related to himself because he is testifying in a way that it will benefit him. So that's part of the testimony. It's like he's one of the litigants because he benefits, so it's like he's a carved to himself. Either way, he can't testify. But this has incredible ramifications. Leviga, therefore, B'nei Ha'ir, let's say you have a whole city. Sheba Ma'arir, a complainer, how's it translated here?
A complainer,
okay. La'ar aleim b'merchatz. He complains that the city's bathhouse doesn't belong to the city. It was a fake deal. The mayor stole it from me. I never sold it. There's these bummed up papers that, you know, 50 years ago you said you bought the bathhouse from my dad. It's a false document. It's never happened. I don't know what happened. I was out of the country for the last 50, whatever. So now, how are we going to decide this? Well, we're going to need testimony from people. Now, who can testify about
it? Somebody doesn't benefit from it.
Right? So, or let's say a parcel of land in the city that's now under discussion that belongs to the entire city. Well, guess what? Ein echad mi balei ha'ir. Maybe there's nobody in the city can benefit because they're all benefiting. I'll give you a simple reason. If they lose the bathhouse, guess what's going to happen to the taxes next year?
Go up, build a new bathhouse.
What's it going to cost to build another bathhouse for all the citizens of this little hamlet? Well, sorry, because we didn't want to raise taxes, said the mayor Ford, but since we lost the bathhouse, what can I do? Everyone's paying another 3% to make up for it. So therefore, how can we believe anybody? Right? And not only they can't testify, the low done, they can't judge either, because you think he's going to give an honest judgment? There's only one way they could. Until he halachically removes himself, with a complete kinyan, and he's totally not part of the city as all. In other words, I give up my portion of being part of the city. He sells his property. I don't live in the city anymore. I'm gonna sell my property. I'm out of the city. I have nothing to do with the city anymore. And it's not like I sell it for a day and I'll get it back tomorrow. I'm leaving town. It's gonna be, it has no business with it. Then he could testify or he could be the judge. Right? That's very interesting what he's saying. Now there seem to be some who argue on some of the points over here, but anyway, that's the basic idea. You've got to remove any of the negius bias that exists. Okay, let's take this further. What if the city got their Sefer Torah stolen? Now this is a little bit different. What do we need a Sefer Torah for? I don't know. It needed to hear it being read, right? That's what we need. You need to hear the Sefer being read.
Right.
Now, you can't say, I don't have nothing to do with this city. Like, even if you don't have, I have no ownership, but still the guy could benefit from hearing it, couldn't he?
Even if he moves away?
Well, he doesn't have to move away. He didn't have to move away. He said, I don't own property in this land. I could still be here for a week. I could be boarding up in the hotel, couldn't I? I have no ownership here. I'm a wealthy man. I'm going to go in the hotel for a couple months, whatever. So, but now it's going to be the hotel. But don't you think he's going to benefit from hearing the Sefer Torah? So, ain't done in badayane o sehair. He can't judge in any of the judgments regarding did I skip a line? She absolutely almost talks when you can't remove yourself, right? So, ain't done in badayane o sehair. He can't make any of the judgments over here for what's being discussed. Maybe the guy says, I bought the Sefer Torah. You can't be involved in it. You can't bring any proofs from the people of that city. And anything similar to that. So therefore, the whole city is totally wiped out from, if you're in the city, you're out of the picture totally. So it's very interesting scenarios over here. So
witnessed the guy break into the shul and take.
He can't testify. He's no gay abadover.
The whole city sees it. Nobody can testify.
The whole city sees it. No one can testify.
He'd have to remove. He'd have to mom, and you can't.
You can't remove yourself.
Well, can't you?
Yeah,
move.
Yeah.
Leave the city. Don't benefit from the city. Go 1,000 miles away.
Now, it doesn't mean to say you can't get a few guys to go in the middle of the night and steal it back.
Take it to the bathrooms.
I mean, you can't get some guys to steal it back.
Yeah, get some guys to steal it
You
back.
Could do that. No, just don't tell us what you're doing. And you would not be considered a ganav. Not because of you. If let's say you, Shelly, nice, honest guy. He mamish saw a dirty ganav, took the Sefer Torah right out of the shul. You know, that's a good. Well, you can't come to court because, you know, we're going to raise your membership dues if we have to make up 40,000. We can't trust you, even though you're a nice guy, Shelly, but you're biased. I'm sorry.
He's 1/8 of him.
But Shelly, if you want to go to the guy's house tonight and steal it back, you're not stealing it back.
Does that mean a homeowner?
No, it's not. If the whole city decides, we're just going to pay him a little visit, no one might.
Every shul shall have
beat the heck out of him and just take it back. No one said you can't do that, but we can't go through a court of law because we can't believe testimony. Yeah, what do you got?
Is there the Rabbeinu Asher maintains if the city has another Torah school, it's not the only.
Oh yes, I didn't get to that. Yeah, yeah.
You got that? Okay.
Yes. What does he say to get? Say
he says that if the city has another school, a judge or a witness may withdraw his share in the Torah school they're arguing about.
Because he can listen.
Because he has a different one.
Yeah.
Which is hard to understand, because isn't there still a benefit financially?
Well, you can still say, well, the other one go in.
Yeah.
Roll it all the time. You know?
But anyway, so that already, you can, again, there's what you do in court, and there's what you do out of court.
We should have like an
Now, we can't say we're going to do this legally with witnesses, because we can't believe any of the witnesses. So again, you just do things without the legal, documentation.
Someone breaks into your house.
If it's your only Sefer Torah, you know, what are we going to do? You're not going to read from the Sefer Torah? You've got to do what you got to do. Jews have always done that since time immemorial. But we just can't do it through a court. That's all.
If someone breaks into your house and you see them, you can't testify against them.
You can, you have to have witnesses to see what's going on over here.
You and some of your family members saw them take it.
You're not gabbed though, right? Do you have witnesses that can testify?
Other family
Do you have
members?
Ways to prove that it's yours? Do you have, have to...
Family members.
Yeah, so someone breaks in.
You and your family members see this stranger.
You can bring your case to the court, and the judge will have to decide. They can decide, but you can't give a testimony. Well, how's it work ever? You have ever best. Doesn't mean they may decide in your favor, but your testimony, you can't testify.
If you can't testify, how is the judge going
to
hear?
You're making a claim that he has my Sefer Torah. They can say to him, okay, where'd you get this? They could ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay, they said, where did you get this from? He says, well, I found it. That's funny. It has his name written on it. Oh, I bought it from him. Really, is there any documentation you bought? They could ask a lot of questions without your testimony, Paul.
Right.
There's a lot of things they can do, yeah. Right? But you, we can't believe you because you are biased in the case. You can definitely go to the Bezin, make a complaint, say, this was my chumash, it's my, what he stole my jewelry, and I bought it 2 weeks ago, it's mine, and the guy, so maybe you sold it. No, I didn't sell it, and now the Bezin has to, figure out how to do it. They're not going to say, I'm not going to even listen. They can listen to the case, but they won't take what you said as testimony. They could say, okay, we got this guy who makes a claim. Got this other guy's claiming this. So now they can decide what makes sense. They say, the guy says, it's funny. That jewelry is $50,000, Chaim Yankel. And Paul says, you stole it. I bought it from him. Really? Chaim Yankel, we never knew you'd have more than 2 cents your whole life. Tell us how you got $50,000. Can you prove to us where'd you get it? We found that story very hard to believe, and now we're going to make you give it back. Not because of Paul's testimony, because they've decided that he shouldn't get it. But if to solely rely on Paul's testimony, I have two witnesses. I have Paul and his son, both the relatives. But anyway, Paul and his neighbor. I can't accept their testimony because then I don't have to do anything else. So you guys said it, case is finished. So the judges don't have that liberty, but they certainly can ask questions and get to the bottom of it on their own. That they have to do anyway.
Even though they're not relying on his testimony, once they hear what he had to say...
No, they've got to ask questions. They've got to be satisfied that the facts are the facts, not on his testimony.
Well, it's kind of like in a secular court where the judge says...